worship affects a part of the brain. It turns into a two-way street. Not only are you magnifying Him, but He comes down the same line to bless you. That's why you can feel it inside. Did you know worship's good for you? Very, very good for you. Not only is it that good for you, but it plays a part in the increase of your faith. How might that be? What are you saying, bad things about Him? When you worship, are you saying bad things? No. No. When I found out how the soul was made, that's when I learned how to offer it on the altar of God's Word for the day and night kind of meditation. If I read you a paragraph, could you quote it back to me? Word for word, comma for comma. Why? Adam must have been able to do it because once in a while somebody shows up with a photographic memory. Came from somewhere. Didn't it? How come you can't quote it back? Bet if you read it about 30, 40 times, pretty soon you can get up and quote every word back. If you had that capacity to do that after saying it 30 or 40 times, why couldn't you do it in the first place if you had a capacity to do it? Don't think that you can confess the Word 200 or 300 times and not end up believing it. It's not Him you're moving. You're moving yourself into a place to receive something that's already been done. Faith's on purpose. Well, what happens when I read a book over and over, like Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians? What happens? I can tell you what happens. The things you were missing in it begin to come together. How can that be? Well, this fourth verse in the first chapter had to do with unlocking the seventh verse in the third chapter, but you didn't pick that up the first 20 times. But now you've equipped yourself for day and night meditation, which blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, sitteth in the seat of the scornful, standeth in the way of the sinner, but his delight is in the Word of God. In it does he meditate day and night. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of living water and brings forth her fruit in every due season. That's you. And I just can't meditate day and night if you know how you can. You have to equip yourself for that. You can't read something that many times and not finding yourself meditating and putting it together, whether you're looking at it or not. Faith comes from hearing by what God said about the problem, which is what "and hearing by the Word" means, not your preconceived ideas. It only comes one way, by what He said, and by understanding what He said. And this I know, He bore my sickness, He carried my pains, and He died under the penalty of them, so I don't have to. If I'm going to kill you with that, I said, you can't. I already died of it once when I died with Him, so get out of here. Got a healing report this morning. It made me glad. Cancer?
So, sorry, we can't find it.
Well, don't be sorry. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Well, isn't this interesting? When they said that part of the brain where joy is affected by praying in tongues, what an amazing thing. Have you ever seen one of those geniuses that can multiply as fast as you can throw at them? They had four calculators on this guy. And they said, all right, 8,270 times 369 divided by 10, the square root of, and he went on with about five different equations. And before the computers could answer, he had it out. That's how I'm thinking, I'd like to hit him. But I didn't let that thought go anywhere. Divide soul and spirit, you'd understand that. So, of course, they put him under a magnifying glass to see what his brain was made out of. And one more time, somebody had to be born with the original equipment or nobody could have it. So they studied this man's brain. They found out a very unusual thing. That the part that was active in his brain when he's solving the problem wasn't the same area that most people solve the problem in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. -3, 4 - 2 = 2. Then a part of my mind activated itself to do that for me. The part of that guy's brain that was activated is the one when you turn and you don't tell your head to turn, it responds to your thought. You turn, and I want you to read what's on the front of that speaker over there. If there is anything in front of it. How about reading this Tulsa, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and how about that exit? How about my watch? What time is it? Don't look at yours, mine. Thank you. But when you looked, your eyes had to adjust. Did you adjust them? All you did was look at it, and then your brain took over and did the rest for you. You just spout the mathematics at him, and his brain took over and gave him the answer. Makes you wonder who you are. Well, I explored a lot of these things because I wanted to learn how to offer myself on the altar of God's Word, which He said, in it does He meditate day and night, day and night. So a long time before my meditation time became mine and prayer time, everything was always in the way, like jobs and money. And I can remember the first breakthrough when I actually had time to spend it in God. I was trying to pay a guy to help my family out while I took time to fast. I said, I'll pay you for it when I get back on the job. I want it to go so bad. Just before I got to Oak Ridge, a woman who was pastor over a church of God of Prophecy was the only Pentecostal tongue-talking church in our city. 40 years ago. And I said, I'm called. That's why I left L.A. and come here, I'm called. She said, you are. She had about 12 people in the church. 15 maybe. You are called? I said, yes, I'm called to preach. Had I ever? No. They'd always book me for the young people. Say, okay, you sure? Yeah, I'll try. And I wouldn't come. Got poor grades in English because I couldn't give an oral report. So she says, will you speak? And I'm thinking, I can't say no. I'm called. I got up and tried to do everything that the preachers I know do. And God said, let there be light. And light. And there's light. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. She didn't mean to do it. But she got up and apologized. Said, I'm sorry, folks. He told me he was called. I died. It's a long time before I tried that again. Don't stop. Get up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Definitely greater is He that's in you than is in this world. No, Koresi. Some of you think I've been overhealed.
It's 12:30. Was that what he said?
No. No. He said, well, you're getting ready to worship a little bit more. I can't stand it. That you got pain in your body. Something wrong with you. You stand up. Pain in your body. Stand up to your feet. Anything that you're believing for in your body. Pain, I hate it. Used to, I hated to go to the hospital to see people a lot worse than I do now because nothing ever happened. Not anymore. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, in my heart I said, I want to worship a little bit now. And he says, well, have them stand up and let me deal with a few pains. So if you have pain right now, just wave at me. Something that just needs to go, you know, this service. Not only is your faith increased from hearing and hearing by what I say, but also comes into agreement with the demonstration of my word based on those things you've heard. For many, many made their first steps because I invaded their world and did the impossible. For you'll see, as the weeks and years unfold, the effect that I can have on disease and on the multitudes, and those afflicted, and those who've been placed in prison. You'll see. You'll see when the limits are taken off what I can do, said the Lord. Amen. That's it. For when all these things come together, you'll see a revival that'll cover this earth before I return. Oh, are you ready? Are you ready? Close your eyes. Raise those hands. Father, in the name of Jesus now, with all our heart, we thank you, Father, for loving us. We love you. You loved us so much that you sent Jesus. And Jesus, I know you love me, and I know you love them. You died for them. You died for them. That was when you provided everything you're doing now. Love them. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, command the pain to go and restore. Restore freedom of movement with no pain. And stomach, and heart, and lungs. Father, in Jesus' name, be healed in Jesus' name. No! Yell about it, okay? Now, Father, I worship you and praise you and thank you with all my heart for what you've done. Now, do what you couldn't. Twist, bend, gouge, poke, touch your toes. Reach up, take one of those ceiling tiles out. Go ahead. Check yourself out real good. While he's still here, I just want to pray for a healing. Come up here, would you? It's okay. Can't tell you how glad I am that you're here. Just a healing anointing is all that's on you. We'll take that, won't we? Father, and that's what you're feeling now. Help, Father. And when I realized what he did, it said, let's make man in our image and our likeness. And no wonder when we were reunited, he called us family. How much more in a family could you be, both male and female, in his likeness? You know who he lost? He lost a family member. He lost a daughter. He lost a son. They could have begged him day and night for years to please, can't you forgive us for what we did? Please. Please take this death off of us. Get us. We won't do it again. Please. He said, didn't you understand? I said, if you knew evil, and good. He said, didn't you understand what I said? Did you die? There's a message behind that. Would you die? What did you think? I lied? 7 years begging. I can't. But he didn't do that. He reached past him. When he judged Satan, born of woman, there'll be a seed that'll bruise your head. You'll bruise his heel. I'll put enmity between you and her. In the spiritually death nature, and the one he was born with was, I'm alive again. God's son. So he reached out 4,000 years and prophesied Jesus. And after he did that, he turned around and killed an animal. Two of them. First sacrifice. Why? Then he made skins, clothing for them from the skins up until those first drops of blood fell, which spoke of the death of Jesus who died in my place. He couldn't do nothing. If he loves his family that much, to come in after us and to get us back, I suppose he would heal you. They could beg, do all the works in the universe. That's why when the devil tempts you to start taking the glory, just tell him to shut up and get out of your house. I know who to give it to. One sows, one reaps, but it's God that gives the increase. We sow the word. They get saved. We jump up. Look what I did. You couldn't give the increase. All you did was sowed what he gave you. Do you know how dependent grace is on what he did? What do you think? When they teach us to pray, he said, okay, it would be really, really good if you quit blowing the horn when you were giving. And quit disfiguring your face when you fasted. And when you prayed, what was you going to do? Pray so loud you drowned everything out on the street corner. You didn't do it. You'll find grace to be a brother to not only faith, but mercy. I believe him because he did it. Whew. Tell you what's here. And this is a continuing box here. You put the name in there and it's continually held up in his presence. Well, when I found out that the power that prayer had, I mean for the lost, changed the way I prayed and how I dropped people off, and start dropping it off with the finality that when I turned my back and walked away, I knew. Like the vine dresser, he was in an orchard that he would take care of, and he did everything that the trees needed to harvest. So every year they had bore fruit. One tree refused. So the owner of the vineyard come and says, cut it down. Why tax the ground? Why does it come with the ground? Cut it down. The dresser, he jumped up and acted as an intercessor between the tree and its destruction and said, leave it alone. thou dung about it cultivated. What did he say? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Hard to plenty, laborers few. Why? What have you got to do with it? He's the one that died for. What does he need that you have? Your reign here?
Well, God saves who he wants.
Gee, that's really nice to know. Hope you're on his list. Did he elect the dark ages and all the people that went to hell during that time period? Did he? If he just goes and saves people at random because he likes to, I can hold him for a lot of my relatives because he let them go. What does he want from you? Well, what did he get from Philip? Stephen, when they were being stoned. Who was at the head of the stoning? A young man named Saul. Paul. Consented to it. He held her garments. They were met with a hailstorm of stones about the size of your fist. Oh, Stephen, you know. Hold this not to their charge. His dying words. That's all God needed to go after Paul. It wasn't random. He met him on the road to Damascus and knocked him down. He says, who is it? He says, I'm Paul. I'm the Lord whom you persecute. I'm Jesus. He goes, oh. What gave him the right to go after him like that? I tell you what. They got Paul's reward. Stephen got his reward. All he needs from you, put their name in that box and hold them up. You turn them over. That gives him the license to particularly go after them. He can't go against their will, beat them up two or three times and say, I'm going to beat you up until you give in and nobody sent me. And when it's all done, he can't go against their will, but he can create the circumstances around them that's very conducive to their salvation. Very conducive. So when you start calling them saved and thanking him for it, that's all I need to move a motorcycle driver next to your motorcycle driving son and that saved doctor next to your saved son, and they'll start working on them right away, and I'll keep sending them. I want them more than you do. All I need from you is the Lord of the harvest, and I'll send them. When my son Steve said, I'm going to go down to Washington and jump on a fishing boat from Tulsa here, and I'm going to make a whole lot of money in the season. So he did. He went down, jumped on a fishing boat, made money, and was renting an apartment with the guy that went down there from here with him. Steve's running from God. He was. So they did make some money. Cut it off from him. They did enough to get a lot of morphine. That's what they were partying on. I get this call from like a scared little kid. And it's Steve. And I says, what's wrong? He says, my friend, I come up with this overdose on morphine. And then we're having a party and he's dead. They sound like little kiddies, so scared. Then I found out why, because when I hung the phone up, when I had the vision. This big angel was standing there, looked like in full battle array, the 7-foot kind, dressed for war. Surprisingly, he looked kind of like a Roman soldier. He'd let me know what kind of angel was there. He's just standing like a sentry, kind of. It's been a while since I've talked about this. And all of a sudden, to his right, I was looking in from this way. From his right, it, like two little devils come through, and they were just wimpy little looking things, just little. And they were coming through the door, and he just turned like that and glared at them, and he was responding to our answer to prayer. I gave Steve to God. And I turned all of them over. I got stories. How many do you want to hear? A couple more. Thank you. Well, Steve says, I took a lot too, but I rolled over and I threw up. And I said, Steve, you rolled over and threw up and didn't die because there's a big angel standing there. If you'd have died, you'd have went to hell. And he sounded like a little kid and stuttered. He said, I was in the other room, but I was looking. I sat up, and I turned around, and I was laying there. And I turned around, and I looked at a wall, and I could see the silhouette through the wall of some massive creature over there. I said, that was the angel. When those two things were coming, he said, no, get up. And he said the next thing he knew, he was setting up. Well, he went over and he found his friend laying face down. Steve threw up. He did some. His eye dried out on the pillow. Steve rolled him over. Nothing the devil does is pretty. Pulled his eye out. Steve went into shock. He's whimpering like a little kid. Came right home. He was changed. Not as much as I'd have liked to see. But the boy had a consciousness of God and what he had done. And I know that he never got too far. I got more. Nothing worse than a Pentecostal mama after you. The kid said I couldn't walk up the stairs without her throwing herself in the chair. When I was coming home from a drunk, the old family chair, I had to go up the stairs, and there she'd be on her face calling out to God to save me. Finally got away from her by joining the Navy. That's the kind of mama you want. And so he got on a submarine. For some reason that they don't know, he lost power. They did. That's a horrible feeling to float down. So they floated down, and they were doing everything they could. And no power. The oxygen was running out. Everything was happening until finally they called a meeting on the mess deck. That's where they make a mess. When it's all men, it's a horrible sight. The captain says, short of a miracle, we can't make contact. We've been trying everything. This is our watery grave. Does anybody know how to pray? You mean it's come to this? Anybody know how to pray? That woman's son kind of feebly stands up, you know, goes, My mama, she's one of those Pentecostal ladies, and she knows how to pray. I mean, the torment she's brought me through the years in that family chair. Oh, she knows how to pray, and I know I don't. But if we ask God to get my mama to pray for us, about 30 men fell down on their knees. Oh, the mother of so-and-so, the God of the mother of so-and-so. Oh, hear our cry. The other side of the world, she rolls out of bed. Gets up. Goes into intercession. Don't fool with her boy. She goes into intercession and the sub just dislodges. It starts to float up. And so they was able to do whatever they needed to do and get on their way. And when they made radio contact, because they had been lost out there, and some received some code reds or blues, or I don't know much about submarines, destroyers. Yeah. Anyway, they made contact. When they told the story, they asked to locate the mom. And they went through, if I understood it right, the president. They got a hold of the mom. She told the exact time she rolled out of bed, made the intercession. It was the time they were crying for help. He's saved. We were a family from the beginning. That's what he lost. A son and a daughter. Well, when they asked Jesus,
your mother and your brothers and your sisters, I seek you.
He said, who is my mother and my brother and my father and my sisters? He says, those that hear the word of God and keep it, those that love me. They're my mother and my father. And I'm going, woo. He called, they're my mother and my father and my brothers and my sisters? Yeah, because he belongs to the family too. Who was the mother of all living? Eve and Adam. There's nobody in here that didn't come from the original strand of DNA. We're all moms, sisters, we're all brothers in the same family. And that's who Jesus said you are. You are his family. He lost them. So he went in after them. So when you pray, don't you dare treat it like nothing. You're not only talking to your father, but you're talking to the man that picked the bill up. And you won't have it. You got a person you want to put in there? Why don't you get a little piece of paper out? And if you've got a daughter and a son and that, but I want you to major on somebody. Mother, father, son, daughter, or just somebody you love and you want to save. But I would think you'd go after your relatives. You can put them on the altars and they'll gather them up and put them in later, or you can bottleneck there at the box, whichever you want. He just won't stop going after them. Their lost family. He won't stop. What touched David the most was in the high desert above Palm Springs, called Yucca Valley. I was up preaching a meeting, and we all rolled in a van, big van. Had the whole family, David. So, David is a crocodile man. If he gets in the desert, he's going to chase snakes down. That's all there is to it. Just outdoors. Just, I mean, he's addicted with it. Can I take the van? Can I, can I? And I said, okay, but remember what time the service is. So he drives out in the desert, driving in the desert, driving, way out there, and then finally goes, He sees this little bitty convenience store on that dirt road kind of situation, tiny little thing, so they pull up there. Kind of wanted to know about the bluff up there and where we was at. So they pull up, and of course there's not that much people go through there, and so the guy comes out. And from the journey, we had the Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power book laying in the back seat. The guy gets up to the van and looks in the back window. All of a sudden he steps back and says, "Where'd you get that book?" David said, "My father wrote it." He says, "No, sir." And David had to show him his driver's license. That's when he lost all the blood in his head. He stepped back, and I guess the way David described it, it was shock. He said, "No." They said, "Yes." He said, "Why?" The guy could finally talk. Me and my wife, we attended a little Pentecostal church down here. She was on the way with some of the kids in the car and got killed in a car wreck. The kids. It was several months. He said, "I quit church. I don't believe in God. I'd take a wife and the kids." But then I stopped this morning and I thought, she got a hold of a book. And she loved it. She's just beginning to read it. I told God this morning if I could meet the man. I'm from Tulsa, that wrote the book. "I'll believe." David says, "Get in the car." He laid out in front of the hotel for 30 minutes on the sidewalk and got up and said, "God is God." Come on. Who would go that far? So that changed David's world. Let's turn these people over. Father, every name that's... this is what we're majoring on. We're isolating in your presence every name that was dropped in there today. And in the name of Jesus, family, Father, we're taking this person in agreement. We're bringing them, he and her, to you. And we're going to leave them there. I mean, we're going to leave them there to be saved. Father, I don't, if they precede me or come after, that's okay. But I'll fight that third option. I will not stop warring until... So I'm not looking for any other options. They go before me or after. But going, I am not leaving as. So Father, in a finality, absolute finality, we're leaving them with you to be saved. In Jesus' name, disperse your angels that are heirs of... servants of the heirs of salvation. Send those angels in. Send the laborers to them. Just steady streams of them. The wise ones, the ones that are just fitted to just lead them right up to that altar in Jesus' name. For that, we give you all the praise. and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, we call them saved. The devil turned my name in and says, we're just going to put him on that destruction of unbelief and just destroy him and his family and get rid of this thing. Didn't work. If you don't have your picture in the devil's post office, you're not doing nothing. You should have seen this guy teaching this morning. I made my mind up this morning. I'd much rather be a Red Sea parter than a dry Egypt setter. A wet Red Sea parter than a dry Egypt setter. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. I'm so glad you came today. Listen. There's somebody here because he's making it the next step here.
You didn't break the word down from the word. You didn't. It, not really. Give me.
Well, it's got to be time to demonstrate it. No. There's somebody out here, I know. He usually doesn't tell me because these things are your choice. And sometimes he does, but I guess it's dependent on circumstance. And there's somebody here, and God did a lot of things to orchestrate you being here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about to the speaking in tongues kind. Let's take the holiest of holies. Who is allowed in there? How many times a year? Wore bells. If it wasn't accepted, bells quit ringing and they drug him out with a hook. There was an outer court where the people worshiped God. Inner court where the priest ministered. But the holiest of holies, nobody. Nobody. But the high priest. Once a year, nobody. The devil thought, well, I'm going to penetrate that holiest of holies. He'd find his head laying on the ground just below his shoulders. He can't do it. Well, Brother Roberson, does the devil know what I'm praying in tongues? No. Your body is basically a type, outer court, soul, inner court, spirit. Holiest of holies. It's where your new nature resides. If Satan would ever think that he could penetrate that holiest of holies of yours, he'd take his head off at the shoulders. It's out of bounds. Why do you think he said he'd eat the dust of the earth as part of his judgment? You think that was a beautiful snake talking to her and all of a sudden he chopped his legs off and said, crawl on your belly, you dirty scoundrel. Beasts were more subtle than the other, that serpent was. What do you think? That the devil leaned over or that big snake leaning over on a fence post talking to Bessie the cow? Hi, how's your intellectual aptitude today? Cal says, I've been reading a dictionary. Oh, really? Wow, excellent. Well, what went on? He said, you'll eat the dust of the earth. What he did was reduced his power. You know the strength of a cherubim? The reason they were placed at the tree of life with the flaming sword? Because Satan's next plan for Adam and Eve was to march him up and seal their doom. But he put those angels there to stop it till he could get a redeemer between us and that. What do you think was going on? You think the devil is privy to the information going on in your spirit?
Well, does the devil understand the tongues I pray in?
No, he doesn't. I wished I could understand it sentence for sentence in a 7-hour praying period. That'd be nice, but I don't. Not until he's ready to reveal a mystery. So if I don't understand it, wouldn't that give the devil an advantage? I prayed this long prayer out, and I don't know what it is, and he does. Not in your best day. Worst day. When you pray in tongues, devil has no idea what he's mapping out for you. It's out of his jurisdiction. Absolutely no idea. I heard this testimony of this man racing to get to the hospital before his loved one died or something. And he was just trying to pray, but he was hit with a big resistance on both sides. She's going to die, going to die, going to die. And it just shattered him and shook him. And God opened his eyes through discerning his spirits all of a sudden. Devil here, little arm around his head. Every time he said, she'll live and not die, he wanted to scream through his ear to the other one, she'll die. Well, when he saw what was going on, the Lord told him, pray in tongues. So he began to pray in tongues, and one of them says, what do you think he's saying? The other one says, I don't know. Are you burning like I am? I feel hot. Let's get out of here. And she lived. Your language. Come on. That language is out of his jurisdiction. He's preparing your future and the devil doesn't even know what it is. You're here. You can't speak with tongues and you want to. I can tell you, he brought you here today. Yes. Yeah. Hey, here you are. Anybody else? Come. Let me, I got this. Just a little bit more time. Hori mes. Tona askeres oha. Or you know the way you feel from time to time. I'm not only your answer, but I'm answer to those things that you're hoping for. Without stammering lips in another tongue, I speak to this people, wherewith we cause the weary to rest. Must be peace connected with it. The weary to rest. This is what you're looking for. You know what I found to be so rich about praying in tongues? Is you can do other. You can be driving. Reading your Bible. And the Holy Ghost is using your spirit, borrowing your authority. Say, give me your authority. I'm going to pray a prayer. And it'll be you praying it so we can answer it. So one member of the Godhead is creating the prayer and the other two are answering it. It's a no-lose situation. Wouldn't you say? Come on. But this person, you seem to be looking for more peace and more rest than you have. So anyway, he wanted to talk to you. Okay. Are you ready? I want everybody to pray under your breath in tongues. Okay. We all came up just like you've done. Presented ourselves to God one way or another and was filled. And I came up and got in the line. I'm going, it's the real holiness women, you know. He says, be filled with the Spirit, and shook me. He's got it. But when we do pray, because you love Jesus, the Holy Spirit's just going to step in. And when He does, the first thing He'll want to do is exercise the authority He has and begin to pray for you. So He's going to create that new language in your spirit. Supernaturally, at the same time He creates it here, your mouth will begin to shape and form those words that He's creating here. And that's why when it comes out, it's Ekore salatum, horekuma chedekat, nasgoshumaki. You know, His hand's been on you. You've had a lot of prayer. They've been believing. So the moment we pray, then, that your mouth is going to do the same thing, because He's going to step in and start creating this new language in you. So I want you to close your eyes so there'll be no distractions. When that woman laid her hand on me and prayed, my chin and my mouth started shaking, and she says, he's got stammering lips. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was trying to shape the words and get me to turn loose. Oh boy, when I did though, oh, I've never stopped. Write books and everything. It's a great thing that happened. So here He comes. Receive. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name now. Now, just go with Him. How many believes He got filled? I'm going to let you go in a moment. Except for the people that want prayer. That for just another moment, keep that atmosphere. The Lord usually does this. When He's able to operate through the gift of faith. And that's when He incorporates it and brings it in. That gift's here for a moment. Absolutely, just give them people away. Give them to God, you know. So while that presence was here, we went through that window. So no matter what happens to them, whatever happens, just keep smiling at God. You know the mystery of the Lord's Prayer? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Why? I mean, He's God. He's pure, clean, righteous. Why do we have to pray to Him not to lead us into temptation? You wouldn't think He would. You know what that means? When you pray, lead us not into temptation, you're giving Him a license not to give you things that would cause you to fall.
I believe I have 10 million.
We'll see. Your prosperity's in here. Can He?
Well, how can we tell when a passing task?
Yeah. Were you faithful in little? I feel honorier than a stick.
Stick ain't honorary when it's whooping you, it is.
Faithful in little, faithful in much.